This podcast is powered by Men's Tee Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's Tee Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's Tee Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972 Go Men's Tee or menstclinic.com.
Yes, sir. It's hour three, G-Bag Nation 105.3. The Fan, thanks for making us part of your day. We are 1 hour away from what you're drinking, what you're thinking. Here's Wolchuk with some more sports.
All right, so we've got, and I know a lot of you out there, some that don't play video games, are going to say, I don't give a damn about this update. But those of you that do, and I know there's a lot, because college football last year, the new EA Sports version just was incredible. They sold a ton of copies. The game was extremely popular. Now you've even got an NIL component with this as well. So we've got the ratings in. The top 10 offenses and defenses, Texas coming in as the best offense in the game. And they've also got the second-best defense in the game. So Texas is loaded, according to the EA College Football game. Penn State, Ohio State, and Arizona State have the next-best offenses. Your LSU Tigers are sixth at 89 overall, Brian. LSU also is in the top 10 in defenses as well. They've got
that, the... I can't believe that.
But really?
Yeah, we'll see.
Well, okay, this is stunning because Texas Tech. Texas Tech has a 92 overall defense. They've got the ninth best defense in the game. Yeah. And we do not think of the Red Raiders as a defensive school. But
good,
all of
hey,
a sudden,
good for Coach McGuire getting that done because wow. It's been tough there for a lot of
and
years.
And they do have a player right now that's projected to be a first-round pick. I believe it's an edge rusher.
Didn't we do an edge that the Raiders drafted?
Yes, we did. Tyree Wilson, maybe?
Yeah.
Is that the right name? But yeah, and he's not been very good.
No.
But Alabama's got the best defense overall, followed by Texas, Penn State, Georgia, and Ohio State. The Dutch Ovens, Michigan Wolverines come in 92 overall, followed by Oregon, LSU, Tech, and Clemson. And then Texas leading the way on offense, followed by Penn State, Ohio State, Arizona State, Clemson, LSU, Alabama, Notre Dame, Florida, and Miami. But Texas is looking like an absolute juggernaut, okay? So we've got this audio of Steve Spurrier. I know the other shows have talked about this as well. We didn't have time to. We had the three-hour shows earlier in the week. But here was Steve Spurrier.
Those were glorious.
CBS Sports, they were great. He's sharing his thoughts on the hype surrounding one Arch Manning at Texas.
They've got Arch Manning already winning the Heisman, too.
Yep.
And my question is, if he was this good, how come they let Quinn Ewers play all the time last year?
Even though he was hurt a lot.
Yeah.
Yeah, and he's still...
And he was a seventh-round pick.
Yes, exactly.
And Arch is going
And now they're saying Arch is going to be the first pick. Yeah. I'm like, yeah, that's a good point.
Yeah, well, you only have to ask the coach, Sark. Yeah. How come you played that one instead of this one? Hopefully he'll say, because we thought he was better than that one.
Yeah.
Isn't that why you played one guy and not the other?
Yeah, that's been a question of mine with Sark, and I thought there were times where you clearly needed Arch, like goal line type of stuff, and he didn't go to him. So I imagine the trust was big with Ewers, or maybe he knew, Arch is going to be around for a couple of years, and I don't have to worry about playing him to keep him. It's a unique situation. But I thought the same thing about Jaden Blue. Like, how is he not getting more carries? I think Sark made some interesting decisions.
Sure.
Yeah, it's just a little bit weird that we're now going to go and look at, okay, where did a quarterback go in the draft? And that's, a reflection on how they were in college. Is Danny Werfel, best quarterback that probably Steve Spurrier ever coached, as a fourth-round pick in the NFL? Yeah. He was a national champion.
Well,
right?
He was
drafted in the fourth round of the NFL.
No, absolutely. And I was thinking.
Then he went back in the expansion draft.
Right. Right.
So
right.
It's just, it's like, come on. Like, Chris Winkie was an awesome college quarterback.
Shane Matthews.
We can go down the list.
Oh, I know.
These guys
he's had,
are awesome in college, and they're not going to translate to the NFL. Just because you were a good college quarterback does not mean because you win the seventh round, which was a huge slide for Quinn. I don't think anybody thought that he'd go that long, but I don't think that's an indictment of how he was as a college quarterback. And it's the loyalty that Sark has. I mean, we have the conversations all the time about, I do think they have a better chance to win than Arch than Quinn because of the running ability.
Yeah.
But the loyalty that he showed to Quinn Ewers, Arch also saw that.
I'll tell you this. I think the Mannings did Sark a huge favor. They're not a rock the boat family.
Mm-hmm.
A rock the boat family would have been all over him about their kid playing.
Play our guy or we're leaving.
Yeah. And the fact that he comes from a well-to-do family, the brothers and the uncles, they've all kind of bided their time. They've enjoyed the college experience. Mm-hmm. They've benefited greatly from college football. You know, Texas is very fortunate that they didn't catch more of a rock in the boat family. The Mannings could have been relentless and could have threatened to move on. But talking to my son Bennett, who's in the same group with Arch, he loves Texas. He loves the college experience. He loves the people he hangs out with. He's not a rock the boat guy. And, you know, we've seen a lot of these quarterbacks pick up. Look what happened at Tennessee. You know, came down to NIL money. And all of a sudden, you know, a starting quarterback just says, I'm out of here, you know. Arch could have done the same thing, you know, with that whole thing last year. Like, I'm not going to sit here and play behind this guy.
Yeah.
You know, but Texas caught a break. I don't know of any other situation. LSU caught a break with Garrett Nussmeier. Mm-hmm. Garrett Nussmeier playing behind the guys and now he likely could be a top 10 pick in this upcoming NFL draft just by being patient, just by staying at LSU. And yeah, he gets $3 million of NIL money. Makes it a lot easier to sit there and do that.
Be hard to be patient, wouldn't it? Like, Arch hasn't played a lot of football in a couple years now.
Yeah, that's the thing. But see, he's okay with that.
Does it make you wonder about how much he loves football, if you're okay with that?
I think, to me,
they've had a plan for him in place.
I think his buy-in with his uncles and his family and all that is true. And they say, listen, hey, this is how we've done it. You know, look what your Uncle Peyton did. Look what your Uncle Eli did. You know, look at the college experience. You know, the fact that he was making NIL money, he didn't need the money. Yeah. Like, maybe some kids are trying to help mom and dad, and they need to go play so they can make money.
But he was making a ton of money anyways.
He wasn't taking it. He wasn't taking it.
He had the option, right? Because he was at Texas.
Absolutely. He had the option to take the money, and now he's got deals with Red Bull and others and stuff like that. But Bennett tells me, man, he really does like the college experience. And I think Texas caught a huge break, because any other quarterback situation might have been just the whole season Sark is having to answer those questions. You know, well, we're just going to transfer. Coach, we're going to get in the portal here. You know, we're not going to be around. You can't count on us, you know. But Texas did a good job of working that.
I would have loved to run that playoff game back, though, with Arch Manning. I felt like Quinn Ewers at times was overmatched in the Georgia games and against Ohio State. Yeah. And well, Arch Manning is athletic enough to give you a dynamic weapon.
He won the Arizona game, the Peach Bowl.
Yeah, he came up and made a huge play in the fourth quarter.
Now, you're right, Dawson. There's been some games where you're like...
The consistency issues, they're alarming. They are.
Yeah, I mean, there's a reason why he was also a seventh-round quarterback. Mm-hmm. You know, I didn't think he'd go in the seventh. I thought he was more probably a fifth or maybe a fourth, fifth
and
guy.
And apparently there were some teams that were thinking about taking him and their current quarterback. Like, I know the Texans, C.J. Stroud doesn't like him. I think Houston was considering taking him. Yeah. I think Bobby's talked about this. And they asked C.J. and he said, no, bleep that kid. I didn't like the way that he came into Ohio State. And then I think the same thing with the Eagles. The Eagles were considering it. And Jalen Hurts said, no, thank you, because he's a little bit like, he doesn't want anybody coming in here and possibly going to uproot him. But I think that goes to the psyche of Jalen Hurts a little bit. But, yeah, I mean, the Quinn slide was surprising, but I don't think – I don't know. I didn't like that take there from Steve Spurrier. He might end up being overhyped. We'll see.
Yeah.
But I think the talent's there for Arch. Like, he's shown in glimpses of when he's gotten to play.
Well, Derek Eagleton liked your point. Derek just texted me and said, I'm glad Wolchuk made the point. Charlie Ward won the Heisman as a college quarterback that didn't get drafted.
Yeah, it's not like good. We have plenty of successful college quarterbacks they're not going to be good in pro football.
Right.
I mean, Tim Tebow was a guy we were stunned when Denver took him in the first round.
Sure.
But he's arguably one of the best college players of all time.
Wouldn't curiosity have gotten you, though, as you're watching Quinn Ewers do a good job, but you know there's a lot left out there? The discipline and the patience from Sark to see that through, when you know you don't need Quinn for next year.
I'll tell you what, man. To me, with Sark, that's some big picture thinking right there, because he's thinking about, I might have a quarterback down the line. Maybe it's not Manning. Maybe it's another one. Maybe it's somebody that's better than Manning. But the fact that you stuck with a guy, that sells a lot. If a quarterback's looking to come to Texas, you're like, man, he had a chance to play this guy and he stuck with this guy. That's showing the loyalty right there buys you
100%
an opportunity to maybe get a player that's better than
like
Arch
my
Manning.
Coach has my back.
Yeah, and my coach has my back.
And quarterbacks want to go there. Like that's why Arch wanted to go there. He likes Texas, but Sark was a big reason why.
Sure,
in the recruiting because of the offense.
That's a big thing.
He's preparing these guys.
Big picture right there. That buys you a lot of points with these quarterbacks that are like, well, man, I need to go to a place that they really, really care about me, and they're just not shuffle me in and out.
I think there's going to be a bunch of kids that just want what's the best situation for me this season, and a lot of those guys are going to be transferring. But to your point, I think there's a lot of guys who want more stability, who won't mind, hey, I'm 17 or 18 years old. I need to put on a lot of muscle. Can I like not start until I'm 20? Actually, that sounds pretty good. Maybe it'll give me a chance to learn the program, learn the system, and then step in and not get crushed. I think it's just going to come down to the personal preference of a lot of these kids. But, man, I couldn't – like, Arch hasn't – it's 3 years now. I couldn't imagine not playing football for that long being that amazing.
I can't wait to see him. I mean, this is going to be a fun year. And we get to start it off with the big one against Ohio State. That's going to be an absolute blast.
Do you think he stays even if he'd be the number one pick in 26?
I think the plan is for him to stay, yeah. I do. I think Garrett Nussmeier is going to be the number one overall pick if I'm projecting just based on right now from LSU. Sure. I think Nuss is going to be awesome for the Tigers. I think Nuss has a chance to win the Heisman this year.
If wheels came off for the Cowboys, you want Nuss number one?
I'd absolutely look at taking Nuss.
He is very Tony Romo-like. You're going to have some moments where you're going to go, my gosh, what a throw, and then there's going to be, what the hell were you looking at?
Like the A&M game is a perfect depiction of this.
Yeah.
Like he got him up, and it looked awesome, and then all of a sudden he's throwing some interceptions. You're like, what the hell are you doing here, Nuss? And it cost him a football game. I'm hoping going back a year he can clean some of that up.
He's not always interested in running either, too.
So that's what I was wondering with Sark and Ewers. Like, do you believe that Arch would get you in turnover trouble? But Ewers had 12 interceptions last year, doubled his previous high.
Right.
So I would think if you're looking along those lines, we're sticking with Ewers, the ball security. I mean, it wasn't there. So I think it is fascinating, though. It'd be interesting to read Sark's memoirs on how exactly he looks at all these things.
That will be. And Sark's done a hell of a job. I'm excited for the Texas program.
Are the Texans saying that Arch sucks?
The 2-1-4 is flooding the Texas.
Oh, I
see.
Same
person.
Okay.
He's just not a believer in Arch. And look, you could be proven to be
totally
right. I don't think that you will be. I think Arch is going to be really good. But certainly, there's a lot of... anytime your last name's Manning, he's dealt with this hype his entire life. This is nothing new to him.
I think Texas in the future will have a quarterback that's better than Arch Manning.
While he's there?
No. I think...
Just afterwards?
I think they're going to start to... I think Texas is about to be on a run.
Well, they got Rajah Bell's kid, who's like the number one quarterback in the this past year.
Yeah, you never, like you say.
So you're not impressed like Spurrier? You're thinking, with Arch, he's pretty good. But
oh, no. I've seen him play when he was a high school player in New Orleans, and there were some times where I was like, man, that just doesn't look special.
They didn't win a lot.
But, man, when, some of the spring practice stuff, some of the throws he was making, he had to make a start in a game, it wasn't a conference game, I don't think.
It was like Louisiana Monroe, maybe.
Yeah,
he had to step in.
His ability to move around, he's a better athlete than you would think. For somebody tall and long, and the way he runs, the way he moves, you're kind of thinking, well, God, he's a statue.
Well, he's a bulldozer.
No, he's got some movement to him, and he's able to kind of finish runs when he has.
Yeah, he'll run over. I mean, he did in the A&M game. They put him in a goal line package, and he just ran over a guy down the sideline. Like, he's physical, and he's got, 6'4", 225. He's got the size, and the team loves him. I mean, they really, really do. So I'm excited about certainly what Arch can do at the next level. The last thing that I just wanted to get to real quick was Cam Jordan, and Cam was talking with Jordan Schultz, and I think it was Keegan-Michael Key, and they asked him, like, what's the dumbest rule in the NFL?
The dumbest rule in the NFL today, Cam?
It's, for the fans, I think it's the excessive celebration. Like, boy, if you don't let them celebrate,
please.
Like, they scored a touchdown. They dragged three defenders on their back. Let them on their back. I got a sack off quarterback. Give me 5 seconds. Like, if that put the spotlight on me, I'm going to hit the levels. I'm going to hit one of these. In fact, I'm going to kick him while he's down, and I'm going to go about my way. But, like, let us celebrate. It's okay to taunt. Like, bring back taunting. Let me talk my
I kind of like it. Like, let these guys have their moment. You know, they're working their ass off to get the touchdown, to get the sack, right? And how many of them do you get a year? Let them celebrate. I miss the touchdown celebrations.
I do, too. I think it's a no-brainer. I think, like, Stephen Jones is in the generation and in the group of people that think it's bad for the game because you have guys showing each other up. It's like, what are you freaking talking about,
dude? This is.
I mean, we love, you know, having the hero and the villain and reasons to hate the other team if they're taunting you. I think it's a mistake by the NFL to downplay that kind of stuff.
Emmitt Smith and T.O. going back and forth lives in my brain forever, bro.
Yes. Yeah.
Emmitt slamming that ball right there on the 50-yard line, fam.
I mean, that era.
Woody and George T. got tossed that day.
He sure did. Yeah. But like Chad Johnson, what he was doing every week, Steve Smith, I mean, all these receivers, they were all trying to one-up each other. Joe Horn with the cell phone. Like, these are legendary moments.
Yeah, it's unfortunate the NFL doesn't see it our way because you could make it even more fun. I mean, think about WWE. That's all show. There's no actual sport happening. They just went off the drama and the soap opera, and they're maybe the second most popular sports entertainment property in the country. All right, we got to run. It is the G-Bag Nation here on 105 Through the Fan. What a day as Cooper Flagg was introduced to the Mavs. Says it's a blessing to not be the Mavs centerpiece. He gets to, you know, come into a rookie year as a super hyped player with, you know, really not a lot of pressure on him. He can just go out there and let the game come to him. What else we got coming up, old Chuck?
Yeah, we'll get some highlights from this Cooper Flagg presser, and was this an eye roll from Nico? That's next in the Nation.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or menstclinic.com.
Shoot, yeah. Welcome back, G-Bag Nation. Did you miss it? Mavs press conference. You had Cooper Flagg up there. You had Nico Harrison. You had Jason Kidd. And it was awkward at times, several times, but some great questions coming in. And we'll relive that and talk about some of the big Mavs storylines here as we now very quickly approach free agency and some exciting times for player movement. Segments brought to you by the Frankels. If you've been injured in a car, truck, wreck, call the Frankels first, 214 or 817-333-3333. There's never an out-of-pocket cost. They only get paid when you win the Frankels. The go-to car and truck wreck attorneys in Dallas. Here's Zachary with some hoop.
All right, let's do it. If you missed any of that presser, we got you covered with a couple of big takeaways. Let's start with Cut 25. This was Jason Kidd on what exactly he wants Cooper Flagg to do on the offensive side of the ball.
Yeah, I think being able to have Cooper, he can handle the ball as he's brought up. And so as we go forward this summer and throughout the season is to try to get the ball in his hands as much as possible so that he become comfortable running our offense. And then when you have multiple guys out there that can dribble and pass, it just makes the game simple and easy.
It's crazy they tried to do that, you know, 3 or 4 years ago without any guys that could dribble and pass.
You know, true.
So I do think Jason Kidd and Nico have been very good for the, like, intellectual power of roster building. You know, they really modernized this team and have given them a number of great role players that, you know, give me confidence they can win it all next year easily.
And he wants to make him uncomfortable. As Kidd said, that it looks like Flagg's going to be playing point guard. The early expectation per Mark Stein is that he's going to be playing in Dallas's first two summer league games. So July 10th against the Lakers, which would be Bronny, and then before San Antonio. So
yeah,
he's going to play him at point guard. We'll get an early dose of seeing what that looks like.
I mean, there's two different kinds of point guards in today's game. The guy that just brings it up, and then I'm going to pass it to somebody, and we're going to get moving and shaking. And then you're Luka Doncic-style point guard. But, you know, a number of players can do the bring it up, right? And if you're going to press, then we can pass through it quite easily. We'll get a dunk on the other side. PJ Washington does this, you know? Yeah. So I think in previous eras, like a guy without a great handle, you would lose the ball, but they've mitigated that now with pick and roll. You don't have to be able to blow by a guy who's on you anymore, right? You're going to get a pick, and you're going to have options, and you're going to have guys in the corners and a lob threat, and that's the game.
And it sounds like he's got the court vision and the IQ to be able to fulfill what they need to do there, but this is going to be nuts. I mean, the length that they can play with. If you've got Cooper Flagg running point for you, like, this is wild to project what they're able to do.
I wonder what his turnovers would be, depending on what his usage is. That's my only concern. Like, you wouldn't want that costing you games in November where you're like, oh, wow, we're starting to lose already. And how would you adjust? I think the more interesting thing is him at small forward with PJ at power forward and AD at center.
Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, it is. I mean, they can mix and match. I mean, there's so much that they can do with this, especially if you do end up having, like, let's say Flagg is your two. then PJ's your three, AD's the four, then you've got Gafford or Lively, since that's what AD would like to do. But, yeah, I mean, I think the three probably would be my ideal spot for him as well. But as of right now, you need the backcourt help.
We had this discussion, though, yesterday with our guest from the ACC.
Joe Berry.
He was kind of talking about that in college basketball, they tend to pick you up more full court. In the NBA, they don't. Mm-hmm. So maybe there'll be a better opportunity for Flagg to feel more comfortable bringing the ball up without having – some 6'6" junior from somewhere,
just being pressured immediately.
Yeah, just immediately attacking him when the ball's into his hands.
The 214 asked a great question. What would I do about the centers with Lively and Gafford? I'm just trying to get my best five on the court, and I don't think Lively and Gafford are as good as Anthony Davis, and they can't play small forward.
I think the thing with Lively, too, and I think it always takes care of itself. He has to prove to me he can stay healthy.
That's the great thing about having Gafford.
Yeah. I mean, you can slide Flagg to two, though, and go PJ three, Davis four, Lively five. Like, you can go bigger or smaller. Yeah. I don't think the roster we have today is going to debut, though. There's going to be a trade. And I don't know if it's Max Christie and Caleb Martin for a guard, or if they would actually consider PJ Washington for a guard. If you do that, a very good player will come back.
Najee, I mean, they've got a lot of different options. Clay, I mean, you brought up Clay. I thought there was a good pushback from Cato, like, well, who's your sharpshooter? I get that aspect of it as well, but I don't know that they're caring as much about that, like that spot up shooting ability.
I mean, I want sharpshooters, but I need sharpshooters that can defend and aren't a liability to loose balls and defensively. Like Klay Thompson just doesn't have it anymore. I would give him away to anybody willing to take him for anything right now.
But yeah, because right now I don't see where Klay's not going to start, and that was a big issue with him in Golden State of why that ended up ending so poorly.
Kyrie and Klay can't be on the court together, and then you think you're going to play good defense. That's part of the reason you got rid of Luka.
Yeah. Hey, defense wins championships.
But he was great in 2015. You got to remind yourself, if he was great in the NBA 10 years ago, Nico's bias towards him.
You're right. Well, let's get back to Nico here. This will be cut 27 on if this Cooper Flagg pick will end up fixing the relationship between him and the fan base.
Ooh. Yeah, I think so. I think it will help. Most importantly, I think it just... You know, we're in win now mode, and we have a really good team, and Cooper adds to that. So I think the fans finally start to see the vision.
Winning does cure a lot, and I think a lot of fans will just forget about Nico and enjoy the basketball team. You know, if they don't want to really get into the weeds, maybe they're not sports radio listeners, they're not MFFLs, but this winning is going to pull in a lot of people. I'm sure Nico's going to have a much better experience this year than last year because of the wins. But you know, I think what he's talking about with his vision is just kind of the positionless basketball. We don't need a real point guard that dribbles it constantly. We need to get everybody involved and play great defense. And I think that's, like, his vision wasn't to get Cooper Flagg. The conspiracy is fun to talk about.
Sure.
Like, did he accidentally slip up and say, well, my vision was to get Flagg and I had a deal with Pelinka in the league to get it done? And I can't imagine the other 28 teams knowing about that and being okay with it. So I think it's, you know, probably horse hockey. But the vision is a bunch of guys like Cooper Flagg. You just had the gift of maybe the most talented one of those in the world today at the young age dropping into your lap.
Yeah, the defense, the versatility, the positionless basketball, and the length.
Yeah.
I mean, it is going to be a very unique team like we do not have and we have not seen. The style in which they're going to play is going to be fascinating. Here was Nico on the first time he ever saw Cooper play.
When I first watched him play, my first impressions were, wow, it'd be great to have the number one pick. just the way, I mean, he impacted the game on both sides of the ball, and he played super hard. And so that was my initial reaction. And again, you know, us not thinking we would have a chance to draft him, I didn't put too much stock into it. It was more of a dream.
You know, it's an interesting conversation that he's had. He described a player as being a general manager as he played super hard. And so you're kind of thinking about, like, the Luka situation. Mm-hmm. You know, Luka plays hard, but, you know, his thing is he plays super hard and he's also in shape. Mm-hmm. You know, that's kind of where... Yeah, and you wonder if Nico not knowing very much maybe about player evaluation, is it about the guy that's going to try hard and show up every day and be in shape and be that guy?
It's definitely his thing.
Can I ask this question? If there's this conspiracy, when do you think it? Just humor me a little bit here.
You got it.
When do you think they hatched this thing then? When did Nico kind of maybe go to DeMont and say, listen, if we trade Luka, it's going to look really bad here.
Yeah.
It's going to look bad. But what if we offer him up, but maybe getting the first overall pick?
Yeah, I think
February. At what point do you come up with that plan? If you're like, listen, I'm gonna go to Adam Silver, or I'm gonna go to somebody, I'm gonna back channel this thing. Sure. I'm not going directly to Silver because you want deniability if you're Adam Silver.
We're gonna go through Nike.
Yeah, we're gonna go through some back channels here, and we're gonna try and float this idea with the NBA that, listen, we understand the TV ratings are a little bit off.
Yeah.
But we're interested. I've got Luka, and I'm gonna make him available to the Lakers to help that market.
I think we were at that brewery in Fort Worth in like November or December when the story was starting to really materialize that the NBA ratings were down.
Okay.
So I think that mm-hmm. would be the genesis of the start of it.
So you think in maybe in November.
Yeah, November, December, somewhere in there.
Okay, so then that's when Nico kind of hatches the idea of, what if we think this Cooper Flag mm-hmm. is the real deal? I was watching Duke basketball. I'd love to have the number one pick to get this Cooper Flag.
But of course, I wasn't thinking I could actually get him.
Never thought of this.
Exactly, yeah. but that's what I'm saying. I was just wondering if November, December, if you come up with this idea and then you back channel it to the NBA office as a, hey, listen, we've got this idea.
Yeah.
We'll move this player for the rights to potentially draft.
I don't think it's crazy. Like, there's been wild player movement in the NBA for years. You know, players engineer trades.
Yeah.
Like, all of this stuff is being talked about, you know? Yeah. And is it the only wild thing would be the NBA or somebody guaranteeing you the number one overall pick. But everything else is, you know, very, very imaginable that these are the kind of things that happen. These are the kind of conversations that take place. And what you have is the GM with the Los Angeles Lakers, Pelinka, being a former agent yeah. that worked very closely setting up Nike deals for his players, and Nico, who worked at Nike. Right. And Nike benefits more than anybody other than the TV deal of Luka going there.
They're all the uniforms, right?
Those shoes those Luka shoes they've made start flying off the shelves at a rate of probably exponential. You're probably looking at 10 times more shoe sales with him being with the Lakers. So it's a big win for Nike. It's a big win for the Lakers, the league, and the Mavs are willing to take it. The only thing that makes it tough is, how would the other 28 teams be okay with this?
Yeah.
You know, it's for the overall good. Your pie is growing.
Well, see, that's what I'm saying.
You're in an investment, not trying to win.
But see, you've got owners that are sitting in other locations thinking, wow, this is really, it's like, how could you trade? How could you trade Luka? Wait a minute, our TV ratings are going to go up now.
Yeah.
That's okay.
It's okay.
Yeah. Now you understand, as an owner, if you're sitting there in
the cold, hard cash.
Yeah. If you're sitting there in Indiana or Milwaukee or Charlotte and your team, you're drawing 8,000 fans a night.
And remember this other part of the story that Mark Cuban was talking about today. Teams are having to sell off their superstars because they're so afraid of being profitable right now.
Yeah.
They're like, we're not going to be profitable. We have to get rid of our great players.
Yeah.
They are more interested in making sure they are profitable than trying to win.
Yeah, the one issue with this is just that the Mavericks post-trade were still trying to win.
Yeah.
And they make the play-in, and they win a game in the play-in.
But
and
they were,
then they lost, but you had Kyrie get hurt, and you had Anthony Davis get hurt, or else they're probably in the playoffs.
Oh,
in which
sure.
case, you don't make the lottery, and you don't get the number one overall pick and get Cooper Flagg.
But it's one of these things that you have to make it look good.
You do. Okay.
That's really hard to
I hope you guys can make it look good, because coming up next, the Coach McCreary bet payoff, and then we'll chat with Jared Sandler here in the G-Bag Nation on your home of the Rams.
June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or mensteclinic.com.
Rangers. Yes, sir. Thank you, Lucius. It's the G-Bag Nation here on 105.3 The Fan. I got this bet payoff that's lurking. We also have Jared Sandler to get to. He's brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing.
Oh, shoot. Is this Jared right here?
Is Sands up right now?
I don't know.
If Sands isn't here, we can do the bet payoff now.
Oh, well, then let's spank.
Okay. The bet payoff's the Coach McCreary, DeKalb County, fired for hitting his players with his shoe as punishment for violating team rules. I still have five bet payoffs to get out of the way before the start of the new season. So we're gonna do the Coach McCreary here as we wait for Ron Washington. Which one of you guys wants to get up and hit me with your shoe? By the way, Ron Washington's going to stay on medical leave for the remainder of the 2025 season. That is breaking news. The G-Bag Nation has a 15-year history of being Ron worshipers. We love the guy, the work that he did, the fun that he made it is outstanding. We just hope that he gets well soon. Yeah. Stan's here?
Stan's is here, and my shoes are really big and clunky, bro.
Which ones you got
These are chunky, chunky Pumas.
Okay.
Dude, probably about as big as mine. Look how big and chunky that thing is.
Oh, those are perfect. Yeah, that's a good visual.
Yeah, you need a nice little chunkletta to get on them cheeks, though.
Okay, those are some Jordans. Those are like some Dunks or something, right? Those will be fine. Yeah, I can tell. Yeah, please do not take it easy on me. We'll do it after we talk with Jared Sandler here about these Rangers. It's brought to you by Blue Nail. I want the pop, like, to go viral. Okay, Sanchez is brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing. What's up, dude?
Hey, what's up, guys?
Well, Ron's going to be out for the rest of the year, huh? What else do you know?
I don't know much. I just sent a few texts to some of his former players who I know keep up with him regularly. And they're all a little surprised because when they checked on him, when the news first was released that he was going to step away for a little bit, he assured them, hey, it's going to be okay. We'll be all right. But obviously things have changed. So, I really didn't overlap with Wash. I filled in part-time a little bit in 2014. I was actually there the day that the news broke that he was no longer the manager. But I don't know him well enough to reach out to him, and I don't even have his number, I don't think. But we've got some people on the case, and obviously a lot of people are, they're thinking about Wash because he's such a big part of their life. And it's it was apparent earlier today at the luncheon for Elvis Andrews just how much of an impact Wash still has on a lot of players from those teams.
So what can you tell us about the Elvis festivities?
Well, it was great. I'll tell you, there are two different panels. Eric Nadell did one with Ferguson Jenkins, Buddy Bell, and Eric, who's the other person? Charlie Huff, who we're
going to have on the an old school group
Yeah, we're gonna have Charlie on the pregame show. And then I was able to chat with Adrian, Michael, Mitch Moreland, and Matt Harrison. It was a lot of fun. We had, undercover meth dealers, Playboy subscriptions, Haitian Playboy models, and crying. Those were all just some of the topics that were covered in that luncheon. It was a blast, and as you'd imagine, in an Elvis Andrews event, there were a lot of laughs, and his teammates, the panel I was able to moderate, they had a lot of great stories about Elvis that had people rolling pretty much for 20 straight minutes.
How are we doing on the Jacob deGrom near-perfect game, no-hitter storyline? Would they have let him go to what number of pitches, and is there any change of plans here for the second half of the season?
Nothing yet as far as second half of the season. The Rangers obviously being off yesterday, that means that Jacob will have a built-in off day before his next start. I spoke to him a couple weeks ago, just not about days off or whatever. We're just talking about the schedule, and he doesn't like more than just that one extra day off. He doesn't like pitching on 7 days rest or anything like that. I don't know if that was a factor in, why he started on Wednesday and maybe not in this Mariners series. Also, you can't just in late June totally, with young pitchers especially who are in the rotation, not Jacob. It's tough to play rotation gymnastics this early. But as far as the plan in the second half, I think, for him as a veteran, as a guy who has thrown a lot of innings before, it'll probably be we'll play it by ear. We don't need to have anything concrete. I do think that, they will continue to look for opportunities to save some bullets here or there, depending on the way the game's going. If he gave up that one hit in the second inning, I don't know that he would have come out for the eighth, right? They were up 7-0. They don't need to push it. And as far as the limit, his pitch count was, pretty strong in a positive way, Gavin. So I think that had he not given up the hit, unless he would have had like a 30-pitch inning in there, I don't know that they would have pulled the plug. I think they would have let him go and see where it went. And, he hasn't thrown a no-hitter before, and I think that they respect that was if it was something that he wanted to pursue, well, all right, we'll let him do it as long as the pitch count wasn't crazy. I don't think he would have seen 115 or anything like that, but he wasn't trending in that direction.
I mean, he's 37, right? So
yeah.
What do you think if it's September 30th, we've advanced to the playoffs and he's at 198 innings?
Well, I don't think that they'll get there, right? Okay. Now, to play along with your hypothetical, you know, it's just a part of the frustration of this conversation, Gavin, and this is one thing I have talked to Jacob about. No one has any idea, right? You know, we talk so much about velocity being a big factor. Mm-hmm. Cody Bradford barely touches 90 on starts, and you know, when he's on the mound, and he's having Tommy John now, right? And uh-huh. He's not even a big breaking ball guy either. So those wow. are the two big notions, right? We don't know. I think what we do know is that max effort guys are maybe more susceptible. But it's not foolproof because, again, Cody Bradford's not max effort, but neither is Jacob DeGrom.
Nice.
Right? Jacob DeGrom's not a max effort guy. So I don't know. I'll tell you this. I'd love to be sitting at, you know, September 30th with baseball beyond 162. I think September 28th is the final date. Whatever. You know, they need to get to that point first, obviously, and hopefully they can. But, I think that they'd like for Jacob to be around 160, 170 in the regular season. And then, you know, in the postseason, hey, we'll go from there. And I'll tell you this with Jacob, he's dying to pitch in the postseason, right? So I think, I think he's going to be on board with, you know, whatever that means.
Still don't see a lineup posted. Are we waiting on Wyatt or any buzz?
Yeah, I think they're waiting, not whether Wyatt's going to be in the lineup, but whether they feel like they want to make a roster move. Wyatt's not going to be in the lineup tonight, and I think they're just trying to determine, hey, do we think that Wyatt can be ready to go tomorrow or the next day? And if not, I think they'll make a roster move. So you're not going to see Wyatt in the lineup tonight. I imagine that the lineup is going to look with a righty Logan Gilbert on the mound, nothing crazy. I would think Alejandro Osuna would likely be in the lineup. And my guess is Jonah Heim's going to be behind the plate, especially coming off the game he had on Wednesday. But, other than that, it's probably going to be a pretty straight-up lineup.
Last thing, obviously, Evo back. He goes tonight. But have they decided tomorrow and Sunday who's going to be pitching?
Yeah, I think you're going to see Rocker and Leiter this weekend. So see how some of the young bucks do. Brian Wu's going to pitch for Seattle tomorrow. He's been one of the best pitchers in baseball, and that's a big part of what makes Seattle tough. Is their rotation is so good with Wu and Gilbert and George Kirby, Bryce Miller, and Luis Castillo. I mean, those five guys. Those are five guys who, if they haven't been an all-star in their career before, you know, they've got all-star type chops. So. No breaks for the Rangers on the Mariners front, and the Rangers are going to hope that some of the young guys get things going on Saturday and Sunday.
Thank you, Sands. Have a great weekend. Let's get 2-3, and we'll talk Monday from the Globe. We're at the Globe Monday, by the way.
All right, I'll be out there. Thank you, guys.
See you, buddy. There he goes. Jared Sandler brought to you by Blue Nail Roofing here in the G-Back Nation. We have 1.5 minutes until we got to go to break here at the top of the hour. Gentlemen, can you produce your shoes?
Shoes.
And come in. I think we're going to be able to get these just three in a row. Just bam.
Oh,
bam.
You just want to go bang, bang, bang.
I want to be up on the microphone position. You know, I felt a little vulnerable laying down earlier in the 2 o'clock segment when Chief hit me. So if I could just stand here, plus it'll be good for the acoustics of the microphone and maybe my audio reactions. You can watch us at 105.com, Twitch, and YouTube. Here's a former D1 long snapper, Brian Broaddus. Oh, you missed.
Oh, you missed.
You missed. That was a bad hit. Go ahead and do that again, Brian.
Oh, that was like body.
My right shoulder's on fire, so I had to go left-handed. And
that's all he had? That was pathetic.
Yeah, I'm sorry about that.
I feel like there's pressure now.
Wolchuk, Lucius is on his way in. I think Carter Freeman's scared too.
I think.
Oh, you had Carter's shoe.
All right,
you don't want to bring your shoe. Oh, okay, that side. That's my bad hip.
Okay, I'll go the other side.
Yeah.
I don't want a bad hip yet.
Let's get some athleticism into this, Wolchuk. Oh, come on, dude. So like that's play. That no. Come on. Nah, you know, Lucius, get over here, Lucius. No, that's not a hit. Okay. Yeah. Are you chicken?
I'm a little tight.
I know Lucius has been dying to hit me here for about a decade and a half. Yeah, pause. Okay, here we go. Really, really.
Lucius
really,
went with the opposite end of the shoe.
See?
Yeah. I think it's a little bit harder standing up.
It is.
It's harder standing up?
We
that's as hard as you can hit? Yeah. Swing that thing
there's
like a baseball bat.
There's not a lot of room
bat.
To work with over there.
Pause. Yeah, pretty good.
Pretty good.
I think we need to go with a stronger shoe, to be honest.
I think to me, like,
bring boots?
My right shoulder, I can't do anything with my right shoulder. That's why I have to go left-handed.
Wow.
Yeah.
I don't think you guys have enough power to get it out of the infield.
That's why I was asking. I was asking Chief to do it
weak.
For me. Yeah, I might.
Wow.
I admit my right shoulder is not going to get it done.
Coach McCreary gets fired for that.
Yeah,
I mean, maybe there's some big old Doc Martin boots or something.
Nah, you're good, man.
Okay, we got four more to go here. It's the G-Bag Nation.
So you got one of them out of the way. You got four more to go.
Yeah, but before week one, I guess we got 69 days before Cowboys
Eagles.
I have
three of my. I think I'm going to try and knock out three at training camp. Do something crazy.
We could bring paddles. That'll be fun next time.
Yeah. Paddles, belts.
Maybe we do paddles.
You know, something. I maybe the shoe wasn't sturdy enough.
My shoe's really bendy. Kind of, yeah, bam. Mine's very bendy.
All right. What you drinking? What you thinking?
Need a sandal, a chancleta.
There. Okay.
Yeah, those ones. Rah, rah,
yeah. Rah, yeah. They get the bend real, to yeah, them.
Like a Spanish grandma uses.
Mm, yes. Bow, bow,
bow. The hard bottom.
Yeah.
You know, bang. That's what I was thinking we were getting into here, but. We'll do better next time, okay? What you drinking, what you thinking coming up next. Your phone calls are welcome at 877-881-1053, and we're back here. It's the G-Bag Nation and the Fan.
This podcast is powered by Men's T Clinic. June is Men's Health Month. Optimize your total wellness with Men's T Clinic. For over a decade, Tolos continue to trust Men's T Clinic to transform their hormone health, mental focus, weight, movement, and sexual health. Be the next life change. 972-GO-MEN'S-T or menstclinic.com.